Welcome back. It is the Midday Show. Hugh Douglas, Joe Gillo, you guys with us. 215-592-9494. It is a playoff week. It starts Sunday, 4:30. The Eagles and the 49ers. I like the path, and I would not be surprised if the Eagles repeat as Super Bowl champions. Hugh Douglas would. Where do you come down? 215-592-9494. All right, back to everyone's phone calls here in just a minute on all this. We also were yelling about whether Week 18 mattered, which it did not.
It did well.
It made it just...
Yeah.
For some teams, certainly it did.
Well, it should have mattered for this team. I mean, I think it should have. I mean, in my humble opinion.
I know, but...
In my non-Super Bowl winning opinion.
Well, I didn't say that. I mean, that's you. That's your own commentary on your own career.
I'm just saying, in my non-Super Bowl winning
Well,
career.
In my non-anything opinion, it shouldn't have mattered. Because once they rested the starters, I didn't think they really cared about winning the football game. I think that played out in the way they did it. All right, but Hugh, obviously, Kevin Petullo, is not the most loved offensive coordinator here this year by most people's account. And I thought it was interesting this morning on the morning show, Jaws was on, right? On with them every week, and they were discussing Petullo. Listen to Jaws when asked by John Ritchie about Petullo and like, hey, if this goes bad, is his job on the line this weekend?
Do you think there are coaching jobs on the line this week, basically, with the way that we perform?
No, not at all. In fact, the only thing
if your name rhymes with Frufrulo,
some guys might get other jobs because people know how good this organization is. They know how good the coaching staff is, and the record speaks for itself. And you know, I talked to a lot of other people around the league rather than just Philadelphia people, and there are a lot of great coaches on the staff that you know they're going to try to poach people from this staff if they get jobs somewhere. So this coaching staff is held in high regard.
Well, our offensive coordinator, is he one of those names that is circulating to be poached?
Yes.
So Jaws...
I mean, but we've heard that.
Yeah. No, but we have. But it's interesting because there's two parts to this. One, some people seem to think, as Jaws is saying, that Kevin Petullo and the offensive staff held in high regard. There was a report a few weeks ago.
That he was up for a job.
Yeah, that maybe the Giants in particular would want to interview Kevin Petullo for their head coaching job. That's one side. But then you have... I'd say most of the fan base saying Petullo stinks. He's got to be gone. Didn't we have a caller yesterday who said even if they win the Super Bowl, they want him fired? Okay, so there's that. I'll just throw it out this way. Do you think his job's on the line on Sunday?
Or should it be?
Okay.
I do. And I know you're saying I'm putting all this weight on one game, but that was a pretty bold thing to do. Go out there with your starters and not try to win the game. And you know, just concede the loss. As far as you guys are concerned, just concede the loss. Oh, we're not trying.
How is that not what they did?
Wait a second. Didn't the head coach sign off on the strategy? Petullo's not going rogue.
Okay, first of all.
As a head coach,
I'm working on it. I need to work on my enunciation a little bit. But first off, to go into a game and concede the L to me is bananas. And if you did that, shame on you. Because your backups are supposed to go out there and anytime they play and be comparable to the starters. And I know the starters are the starters for a reason.
Yeah.
But when you do that, and if you go out there and you make that message, say that message, if that is what's the messaging, that you don't believe in the secondary. You don't believe in the secondary players. I think that's just ridiculous. And if that's what they did, then no, you need to be fired for that, in my opinion.
So, look, the Eagles certainly could move on from Kevin Petullo, and I think this season it would be...
How does he come back, Joe?
I can tell you very easily how he comes back.
How?
Two reasons. Number one, the Eagles, what do we always say? They never have continuity offensive coordinator.
Yeah, they do, but I don't want that. Okay. I don't want that continuity.
You don't have to like my reasoning, but I could tell... If they bring him back, I could tell you right now what the spin is. They have not had continuity, and they could create continuity by keeping this guy. And the other thing, did we all just forget most of the season? One game with Tanner McKee, one game with Hugh and Richie yelling about Petullo and play calling. The Eagles may view it as the quarterback and the offensive line injuries were the bigger issue than the play caller. I mean, you could agree with that, you could disagree with it, but guys, I don't think it is a lock that Kevin Petullo's gone. I don't think it's a lock.
He should be. Because, I just pulled up where the Eagles are ranked.
It's not good.
Offensively. They're like, 16th?
Yeah,
I'm just looking at it. And I'm looking at every team that's ahead of them. And off the top of my head, just looking at the roster, looking at the Trevor Lawrences and the Sam Darnolds and all those other guys. No, I'm sorry, I'm looking at the wrong thing. I'm looking at the passing leaders, the passing leaders. But the point that I'm making is this. When I look at that passing leader list, Jalen's like 16th. But when I look at the personnel that we have, I think to myself, when I see Jared Goff name, when I see Dak Prescott name, when I see Drake May name, and I see Sam Darnold's name, I'm like, who are these guys throwing to? And I have A.J. Brown and Devontae Smith and Saquon Barkley. Why am I as a quarterback sitting at 16th? That's a problem.
I don't disagree with your premise, but do the Eagles think it's the coordinator's problem or the quarterback's problem?
But that's what I'm saying. If I've amassed this talent and I have a coordinator that's so arrogant that he goes into a game and now you feel I'm putting the pieces together for you, and you got a quarterback that throw the ball 40 times as a backup, and you don't try to win, then you don't deserve to have your
job.
They
didn't try to win.
Team didn't matter. The game head coach set, signed off
game
on
set,
it.
Game, set, match.
No, I can't believe we're doing this. I know.
Game, set, match.
You're firing him off of week 18?
I'm firing him off of a whole body of work.
You're not lasting a month in it.
Listen. Yes, I am.
No.
I give myself – I told Ike yesterday, I said, though, we'll probably make it to the middle of the season.
The bye, maybe?
Hopefully.
If you get a bye in the middle of the year? All right.
Because I'm going to cut somebody out.
The hit piece that comes out of that locker room about you is going to
be awesome. I do think there is a real chance they move on from Petullo, but I don't think it is definite he's gone. I mean, if you tell me they lose 20-17 on Sunday, they're out.
How does he survive this, Joe?
Because the head coach wants him to.
Well –
I mean, it's as simple as that.
Well, and I say this with all due respect, he's a bubblehead.
Well,
if he does that. Coach, if you're listening right now, you a bubblehead.
But you called him a bubblehead after winning the Super Bowl, so there's not much variance.
Well, it's a term of endearment at this point.
What if the Eagles think the problem has been the quarterback, not the play call?
And if
then the play caller is not going anywhere.
The plot thickens.
It does.
If Jalen Hurts is in a unique situation – because, and I know I feel like I'm being hypocritical. I can't think. I'm being hypocritical.
Head coach material, ladies and gentlemen.
Hypocritical because of the way I phrased some things last week. But Jalen Hurts is in the catbird seat as far as being re-signing, because he's a lame duck after this year, right?
So he only has guaranteed money next year. Next year's the last year of guaranteed money on his deal.
Yes.
2026,
and he's. And this is going to sound crazy, but it's the truth. He's grossly underpaid.
Stop.
As a quarterback is concerned.
Stop it.
I'm not.
You talking about?
Okay,
are you nuts?
Okay. Brock Purdy make more money than Jalen Hurts right now.
He performs better.
But Jalen Hurts' resume is much better than Brock Purdy's. Mm-hmm. That's a fact.
Are you advocating for a raise for Jalen Hurts?
I'm always advocating for somebody to get paid.
You're a problem.
If it ain't me. And if Jalen's in the catbird seat, because all Jalen got to do is win this one game. I'm not saying that's what he's shooting for.
I can't believe this guy's greasing the skids for a Hurts extension and pay raise.
Oh, it's coming.
Oh, well.
Oh, it's coming.
I have a lot to say.
I don't know.
Kevin Petullo can't be here, man.
Well.
He can't be here.
Also, if we're talking about jobs being on the line Sunday, the devil's got to be in the details,
yes.
Right? Like, if Hurts has a Chargers-esque game, that changes things, does it not?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's more on him than the coordinator then. I think there's
a chance. There's a lot at play.
There's a chance they move on, but I don't think this is a lock. I'm not, if they lose Sunday, I'm not like expecting the news to come out Sunday night or Monday morning, Petullo's gone. I mean, maybe, but I don't think this is as much of a lock as it's been made it to be, or much of a feeling out there that he's going to be gone. I don't know. I mean, Jaws seem pretty adamant that the people he talks to think Petullo's better than we think he is. So we'll see what goes on now. If they do move on, a couple names already out there that are obviously intriguing. Kevin Stefanski fired yesterday by the Cleveland Browns, and I would be very intrigued with him as a coordinator. Now, one just popped up a few minutes ago. Apparently the Commanders, according to Adam Schefter, the Commanders and Cliff Kingsbury have decided to go their separate ways.
There it is. I'll take Cliff Kingsbury. In a heartbeat.
So, you know what's interesting about that? 2 years ago, when they got Kellen Moore, the other guy that was kind of...
In the wheelhouse, Cliff Kingsbury.
It was Kingsbury.
All right, then. Hey, listen, Coach Petullo, I'm sorry you out. I'm hiring. I'm hiring Kingsbury. Kingsbury.
You've been a disaster this
season. Yeah, I have. I'm working on my head coaching chops.
Not
because I know that is going to be Kyle. That's going to be my downfall, man.
The well, press I think conference. There's a, more yeah, than there's a few downfalls, yeah.
Because there's a lot of different ways we could get there.
No, I'm saying because I speak in stream of
all
conscience.
All I know is we're
and that's going to that's gonna hurt me. Yes. That's going to hurt me.
What are you going to do when Arthur Blank says, delete all those social medias? Delete them all.
See, that's going to be a problem. Okay, first of all.
Deleting them won't be a problem. It'll be creating new ones.
No, what's going to happen, I'm going to probably have to relinquish my social media account.
I think just hand over your phone.
Oh, yeah. No, that thing, somebody needs to erase that from internet history.
I have a team in. I have a team in place already. Like a personal, like my personal handlers. I need that.
Yeah, you need a few.
I need a handler. But I've already kind of like workshopped that.
Okay.
Not going to be on the social media space.
It's probably best.
Yeah, I'm not going
to
do that.
Responding to fans after the game when you blow a big fourth down decision.
Well, wait a minute. How you know I'm gonna blow it? How you know I'm gonna blow some calls?
Well, I mean, every coach does.
It's inevitable. Yeah.
I mean.
And I just need to work on my explanation. And I need to explain it in a way where I'm very articulate.
Yep.
I'm concise.
Oh, that's
in the way that I'm
as our listeners know, that's you.
We've arrived at your downfall.
Listen, but I got time. I got a couple months before I actually have to, coach and talk to people.
Okay, now just to bring this whole thing back to Petullo quickly. What saves his job? Because it seems like you're ready to move on.
A Super Bowl?
Whoa, anything short? No?
I would say, Joe, I know we're making light of it, but that's pretty arrogant to go into the last game of the season.
Get back to this.
We're stuck on this.
I'm stuck on it. Why can't I be? Because it's telling. It is telling. You win it. One or two things happen. And forget both of y'all. But one or two things happen this weekend. Either you went out there and tried to prove a point.
Yes.
Or you conceded the L with the guys that you told all week long.
Well,
it's
we
about
know
winning.
They conceded the
well,
L.
Well, maybe A led to, maybe that, A led spilled, to B. No. A led to B or B led to A or whatever.
You know,
I don't know, man. That's ridiculous to me.
You know what could save his job?
What's that?
If those people were right and they were playing possum this whole time.
Ooh.
Playing possum, oh my gosh.
Dropped 40 on Sunday.
Yep.
All right, they win the game on Sunday. Is he safe?
For a week.
They win in Chicago. Is he safe?
For another week.
I really think it's going to depend on what things look like.
Okay, but let me give you, I think this is a reasonable thing that could happen. They beat the Niners 23-20.
Yeah.
It looks okay.
Yeah.
They beat the Bears 24-23. It looks pretty good. They lose in Seattle 27-10, and the offense gets shut down by the best defense in football. Is that enough to save his job? Title game trip?
You know, are they going stretches where they don't complete a pass for an entire half?
They only scored 10 points, probably.
I think the die's already been cast for him, man. You set a precedent by paying two receivers. The first time it had been done in NFL history. Cincinnati Bengals followed in lockstep. With that, they have underachieved. Did they fire any of their coaches yet?
I think Zach Taylor is bringing the whole staff back.
Okay, there's a whole staff is coming back. No, I'm thinking about the Cleveland staff. But the bottom line is this: for the money that we've allocated on one side of the ball, it has not lived up to expectations.
Of course,
look at it from a financial standpoint, people, because that's what we're talking about. We're talking about dollars and cents, and the fact that our quarterback is going to ask for an extension.
Well,
he's going to ask for an extension. Look at me, Joe. He's going to ask.
Yeah, he can ask all he wants.
And he's going to get it.
No.
And he's going to get it.
That's a big no.
And now you're talking about allocating more resources to that side of the ball. You can't have the 16th rank or whatever the defense ranked, and you got that kind of money invested in that. Can't happen.
No, you can't extend him off of this season.
No shot.
I mean, what other season are we going to do it? Because this is the one that's going to happen.
He better get better.
Well,
we're not having it at all.
If he wants an extension, go win the next four games. And then obviously we could talk extension.
He ain't about to get paid. He ain't going into next season with no newfound money.
Well, he can ask all he wants. I'm not paying.
Oh, yeah, he's paying. He ain't going to pay.
Not my money. I'm not paying it either. 215-592-9494. Will in the Northeast. What's up, Will?
Dream team, how y'all doing today?
What's up, Will?
Oh, man, listen, Hugh. I kind of agree with you, man.
Because I have vision.
Well, I don't know.
I'm going to keep it real, though. Like,
Keep it a bean. Talk to him.
Like, that game, we shouldn't have lost that game. And if he just was going to just throw that game away, like, come on, man. Like, that was a game to like, try and do different plays and open the playbook up a little more and everything. But it's like, you know, it was like a nonchalant type of game, like, for Sirianni. But and I'm hoping it don't carry on to the next game. You know what I mean? But my only thing is, man, like...
But why would it carry over?
What are we talking about?
They didn't try to win that
game. Nobody played.
I understand that, man, but...
Like, doesn't sound like it.
We could have had the second seed. You know what I'm saying? We could have actually played to win. You know what I mean? Like, why play to lose, though?
My thing is this. Will, let me help you out. I look at it like this. If I've been heavily scrutinized the way that Coach Petullo's been heavily scrutinized, right, regardless to what the head coach says, why would I go out there and lay a big old stinky turd knowing that the people think that I'm the reason why this offense is inept anyway? That to me makes no sense.
But they can't coach based on what the fans think.
No, but you're coaching based on your pride and how you feel about what's going on. You get, like, there were certain things that happened during the course of the season where people took it too far. And you go out there and you sit up there and you say, okay, I'm going to go ahead and I'm just going to run the ball. No, I'm going to throw the ball 40 times to show everybody that they were right about
Maybe
me.
Maybe this was an organizational decision.
I'm a bubblehead.
This could have been
guys were right.
Howie and Nick could have said, this is what we're doing today. And then, like, what's Petullo going to do?
I'm a doofus. No. I'm a doofus. That's basically what he said. I'm a doofus.
Pretty much.
I'm going to go out here.
You guys.
That one's coming back.
Petullo might be the most just beat up person in the city for no reason for this past game.
No. What you mean beat up? He deserves to get beat up. That was a doofus thing to
the
do if he
head
signed up
coach
on that.
Told us they don't care if they win.
The doofus.
I actually can't believe we're even doing this right now.
Believe
right.
it.
I mean, to be honest, like, you know, okay. They threw that game away or whatever. Okay.
Yeah, sure.
They didn't. All right, that's cool. I mean, it's not cool. God. I mean, I'm keeping it real though, man. Because like right now, we could do something that haven't been done in a long time, man. And like
go back to back.
Well, the Chiefs said here,
just, there's no easy way out, like, Joe.
Chiefs said just done this.
I mean that's real though, man. Because like I don't understand like why every game from here on out from last game to this game to the next game. Why wasn't we playing it serious? Like, I mean, okay, no. You shouldn't have threw that game away. And I really felt some type of way about it. And I ain't going front, man. Like, you know, I'm always on board with the Eagles in it. And I know they can win it. And I know there's no other team out there, I mean, that can actually beat it. My bad.
But you good, dog. Spit it out.
All right. Let me break it down like this. What I'm saying is this, man. Like, we shouldn't have just gave that game away. And I believe, like, we should play every game like it's the last game. You know what I'm saying? We should always keep that, you know, keep that drive going, man. Like, and I don't know, man.
What if players got hurt, Will? I mean, like, why?
I mean, I just don't like how that game went.
I get it.
Will followed up yesterday with an absolute stinker.
Will,
I mean, what the hell was that?
I agree, but we're gonna do better tomorrow. Will, as a collective.
Wow. He will alone. He's speaking his truth.
What does Sunday have to do with the playoffs?
What are
and
we
Sunday
doing?
Sunday has everything to do with the playoffs. That's
everything?
What I'm trying to get you to think. Yes,
everything.
Everything.
I can't stand you today.
You have. I'm explaining it away, and I'm trying to explain it, and y'all ain't picking up what I'm putting down.
That's exactly right.
Because this dude winning. What has Kevin Petullo done for you this year that gives him the cachet to go out there and lay the big old stinky turd?
Do you think the head coach signed off on the philosophy?
And if the head coach did that, he needs to be slapped across the lips, too.
Oh, I don't know who's doing the slapping, but I'm sure the head coach signed off on it.
I'll volunteer.
Well, now you're now this is
no,
not,
I'm just saying, because
it's a fraternity
that,
of head
me,
coaches you're in.
Yeah, that to me makes no sense. You're not that good.
Okay,
let me pull that back, because you are good. What's your record? 14 and what?
No.
What
was
it? 11 and... 11 and 5 or whatever. No, I was thinking about
I'm going to need everybody to get it together.
No, but my point is your offense has underachieved statistically all year long.
Yes, we agree.
And you don't have the – to me, you don't have the luxury to make that call. If you're going to play the back, because I understand you want to keep your team healthy.
Yes.
I get that. I have no problem with that. But to go out there with the arrogance and say, we don't have to win this game, we're going to play it our way, be damn the scoreboard.
Okay. Can I give you an analogy? We like analogies in this show.
Yes, we do.
Okay. Let's say we're both off for a day or on vacation.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a playoff week, right? So we would be talking about the Eagles. Mm-hmm. But let's say tomorrow we're not off tomorrow. We'll be here. But if we were off tomorrow, and they put TK in, right? TK and Broads came in here tomorrow. And they talked about the Flyers for 4 hours, which they would do a good job with, but it's not really the topic of the situation, right? We're talking about the Eagles. What would that have to do with us coming back on Thursday and talking about the Eagles and Niners?
I would tell TK and Bro, like, what the hell y'all doing? It's playoff week.
I agree. But when you and I sat down on Thursday to talk Eagles-Niners.
I would apologize.
Well, okay, you can apologize, but we would just talk.
I don't know what TK and Bros are talking about.
But we would pick up where we left off.
Yeah, we would.
And talk about the Eagles and Niners.
But that's a good analogy, but I don't think it applies in this matter because you have been a team all year long with your winning record. Nick Sirianni, and I got to give him his props. He has a winning record. But your team, whether it's fair or not, offensively has been heavily scrutinized.
It's been bad.
All season long.
Based on expectations, bad, yeah.
Yes. And for you to be arrogant enough to go out there and just use that last game of the season, even though your starters are not playing, as a throwaway, that is not smart. That's not smart business to me. You need to get, if anything, Joe, say – something happens, something crazy happens, and some of those guys got to play. You've already let them know that you don't have any confidence in them to win the game because you didn't give them anything to work with. You didn't give them the right tools to go out there and do the job. Well, that's what you did.
Yeah. Well, let's hope the real players don't get hurt.
Yeah,
otherwise,
that's a whole lot of hope.
Well, that sure is. Let's go to Dennis in Newtown. What's up, Dennis?
Hey, good afternoon, everybody.
Hey, Dennis. What's up?
Hey, you.
Yes.
Listen, when you get that job in Atlanta, remember, when you face off with the press, less is more. And
I'm working on that.
We tell him that every day. Yeah. He doesn't listen to us.
Less is more, and find a way to answer the question without answering the question. But anyway, I would be surprised, gentlemen, if the Eagles win the Super Bowl. You said he was going to be the drunken uncle. He hated to be the drunken uncle.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to be the drunken grandfather.
Okay.
For me, it's pretty simple. All year, I'm not even talking about Sunday's game, all year, and it's been said a lot today, I have observed an offense that has really inconsistent execution all year, every game, all year. The defense has played really well. And by the way, Joe, I have to remind you, I talked you off the ledge before the draft because you thought this defense was going to stink this year.
Well, I think stink is strong, but I did think they would fall
to a top 10,
not top five. You're right. I mean, I was worried, and you were more confident. I remember.
So anyway, I think the defense is going to play lights out, but when you get to play better teams as you roll through the playoffs, somebody's going to figure this defense out. And they only have to figure it out for about 20 points. Because invariably, our offense is going to be inconsistent. I don't think that ever changes this year. And it's the entire offensive scheme. It's not just one player. It's just not one person. It's the entire offensive scheme when you're inconsistent all year. That's just how I feel.
Well, I get it, and you're not wrong about that. I just think, and I know maybe this isn't the – if you like the strongest pillar to go on to why they can repeat,
mm-hmm.
we have to look at the competition. I think to me the most impressive team all year is a 5 seed that has to go on the road probably the whole time. The Los Angeles Rams, right? So that
they were kind of the consensus favorite early on. Well, late in the season,
and
to
now
be the
they're
best
a wild card,
team.
Right? So if we play them, it's going to be here. The other most impressive team is the Seahawks. And as much as I think it's probably a little bit unfair to say that Sam Darnold always chokes, he only played one playoff game, he also does turn the ball over a lot. He's never played big in a big game. So, like, you're telling me if the Eagles play the Seahawks in Seattle that they couldn't get 2 turnovers off Sam Darnold and win a very ugly, low-scoring game? They could. I'm not saying this is a lock. I'm not saying this is definitely going to happen. But I wouldn't be surprised if any of this happens. 215-592-9494. We'll talk to Russ Tucker after the break. His take on this. And, of course, this matchup on Sunday plus your phone calls. Would you be surprised if this Eagles team Just does it. Goes and wins it all on back-to-back after the weird regular season. Would you be surprised? Yes or no? We'll discuss. Midday Show, Sports Radio 94 WIP.
You know, this is time of year everybody talking about fresh starts. That's why Hatfield Marinated Pork Tenderloins and Pork Loin Filets are in my weekly game plan, people. They're preseason, packed with protein, and oven-ready in about 35 minutes. No stress, no guesswork. From Savory Brown Sugar to Texas Smokehouse, Tuscan Herb, or Honey Garlic Teriyaki. These flavors turn busy nights into easy wins. Visit simplyhatfield.com for recipes and where to buy. Hatfield, better care, better pork.
Welcome back, Midday Show. Hugh Douglas, Joe Gill, you guys with us, 215-592-9494. We'll get back to everyone's phone calls here. Check in on our Twitter polls as well. Would you be surprised if this Eagles team gets hot, gets on a run, and wins it all again? I would not. Hugh would. We'll unpack it all. But let's go to the guest line here. Talk to our guy Ross Tucker at Ross Tucker NFL on social media. Fresh off a TV broadcast,
Ross.
Regular season of the Eagles in their finale against the Commanders. Ross, how you doing today?
I'm doing awesome. How are you guys doing?
Ross,
we're good, man.
I mean, we're great.
We can't complain.
It's a playoff week. We're ready to go. Ross, before we get into it, what was it like? Tell us what it was like calling your first Eagles regular season game. I'm sure it was a thrill, and I enjoyed the broadcast, Ross. Good job.
Oh, thank you very much. I appreciate that. You know, the coolest part about it is what it meant to my friends and family. You know, I think after the game, I don't know, I lost track, but I had like over 100 text messages. People, by the way, coming out of the woodwork, people that I hadn't heard from in years, which is cool, though. You know, it's a really cool thing that people get to kind of experience that or live vicariously through me in that regard. You know, for a lot of people, they don't really know anybody on TV, so to see someone they know on TV for the Eagles game is really cool. So that's the coolest part, is just how excited all my friends and family were. And obviously it was a competitive game for a while. Probably would have gotten even more text messages if the Eagles had won, but I think a lot of my friends and family were upset that they weren't going to get, in their minds, a second home playoff game. So we'll see. It might still work out that way.
You know, Ross, I'm kind of curious when you talk about the game and how it played out. What was your takeaway from the game Sunday?
Oh, I have several. And, as you know, Hugh, I do these Ross Report minute-long videos on social at Ross Tucker NFL. The major positives to me, you know, I really like Tank Bigsby. And I do think, you know, he probably should have gotten more carries up until this point. Should have got, I wonder, did those guys in the morning ask Sirianni today if they kind of were saving Bigsby in the fourth quarter? Because I don't think he got any touches in the fourth quarter of that game.
No, he didn't.
And then their linebackers. Trotter Jr. is a starting linebacker. And he might be the fourth linebacker for the Eagles, but he's a starter. Somebody should trade for him or something, because he is super impressive. Those are the positives. The negatives are, it's weird with Tanner McKee. I feel like he's kind of established such a high standard. He probably played solid for a backup quarterback, but because he's played so well all the other times, some of the misses he had, the interception, they jump out. I will say, It's not easy. It's not supposed to be easy when you've got the number two O-line and the number two receivers going against somebody else's starters. I mean, he was under duress a bunch. I think we pointed out multiple times where there was nowhere to go with the ball. You look at his stats, it's like how many of those were throwaways. So not his best performance, but again, I mean, you'd absolutely take that as a backup quarterback, because what would it have looked like if he was with the Eagles starters? I mean, think about what it was like when he had Devontae out there. And then the corners, that was the biggest takeaway, is that
– that Keeley Ringo play, my goodness gracious.
Ross, explain that to everybody. Explain it from your perspective, because I saw something, and I'm curious to see what you saw when you saw him get spun like a top.
Well, a couple things, right? So first of all, I really thought Jacorian Bennett did a bunch of good things last year for the Raiders. And when Adoree Jackson was just kind of up and down earlier in the year, I was like, why don't they get – and I think Jacorian got hurt.
Yeah.
I was curious to see him get a chance. I mean, those guys, I don't know if they were overexcited or over-aggressive, but –
he was handsy.
None of those interference or holding penalties were even close. Like, none of them, in my mind, were even debatable. Somebody on, a couple of people on Twitter, like, oh, they didn't need to call the one. I'm like, I think they did. I think that those were all pretty clear penalties. And it's interesting because, you know, you see Kelee Ringo as a gunner, and he's absolutely fantastic. Fantastic. And by the way, he had a nice play in coverage as well. But there's usually a reason, and Hugh can speak to this, why guys that are really good on special teams, it doesn't translate sometimes to offense or defense. It's usually just kind of the nuances of the game. It's understanding the game. Mm. And that was very clear with Ringo, not only the two, you know, pass interference penalties, but then on that touchdown. And I didn't realize this till after the game. I guess when I saw Josh Johnson roll out and I saw Kelee Ringo run the other way, I guess Kevin was calling the play. I think that was like a subtle, like, oh my goodness. like I don't know if you guys caught that, but I guess I was like, oh my goodness. I couldn't believe what I had seen. And then it's so funny, you know, being on TV, because the producer and director, you know, they then decide which camera angle to show. And for them to show the end zone one where it's like he's staring at the quarterback and then he runs the other way. Like, I've seen a zillion memes. Like, people are texting me, you know, me, all my problems, and it's Ringo like running the other way, or me, first day of real work in January 2026. I mean, it's kind of funny, but it's not. So it's unfortunate. You know, it's a learning lesson for him, I'm sure. Maybe he had never been in that before. I think I would just say that stuff comes more naturally for some guys than it does for others. Some guys kind of have to go through it once to learn it. And, you know, Kelee Ringo might be one of those guys that kind of has to learn things the hard way, unfortunately.
All right, Ross, the good thing is
that
the starter.
That was very kind of you, Ross.
It was.
It really was.
Good thing is the starter's back out there this Sunday. Playoffs, wild card weekend. Ross, your first thoughts on this matchup against the 49ers? I find it to be an interesting one that if I could have picked based on how those things were going in the West, I would have picked this. I would rather play the Niners than either the Rams or the Seahawks. We know it's San Francisco. What's your first thought on the matchup?
Well, there's no question, Joe, about what you just said. I'd much rather play the Niners than the Rams or the Seahawks. No question. I think I'd still probably rather play the Packers, but the Niners are just so beat up. It'll be interesting. I'm guessing Trent Williams, you know, will find a way to play, but they even just lost their recent linebacker, Tatum Bethune, who'd been playing well for them. I mean, their defense is kind of in disarray, and they're tackling the other night against. The reality is, if you watched Seattle, San Francisco, that game should not have even been close. Seattle beat the crap out of them, which, by the way, bodes well for the Eagles having rest, because that was a super physical game, and the Niners sort of weren't up to the challenge. They were not up to the challenge physically of Seattle, who's kind of like the Legion of Boom 2.0, at least in terms of their physicality. You know, so two thoughts, Joe. Number one, the Eagles have to be able to score points against this defense. They have to. And then conversely, the Niners' chance to win the game is probably, you know, winning a shootout or outscoring them. You know, Purdy needs to really get into a rhythm, and they need to be able to light up the Eagles. I don't see that happening. You know, with Quinyon Mitchell and Cooper DeJean back there, you know, with the Eagles' D-line being rested, I don't know that. I mean, if you watch the other night, Purdy was getting hit almost every time. I don't know that I envision the Niners being able to put up a ton of points on this defense the way they've been playing. So I like this matchup for the Eagles.
Ross, how good of a job has Shanahan done this year? I've watched some of their games, and obviously we've seen every week the players that have gone down, and I just keep scratching my head, like, that they got to as many wins, that they were even playing for the one seed on Saturday. I know he's had a lot of really good years coaching. He's obviously been around a long time. I'm shocked he got this much out of that team, especially with Purdy missing all those games.
Incredible. Incredible. If he was voted coach of the year, I would have no problem with it. None. I mean, not only your starting quarterback, but they lost two of the 20 best defensive players in the sport. Nick Bosa and Fred Warner early, like real early for the season. That, you know, I've come to the conclusion that you want to have good players at every position, but there's really probably four or five guys for each team that are true difference makers in the outcome of the game. And for the Niners, they lost a couple of them. They never had Ayuk all year. And so for them to be in this position, 12-5, I mean, 12-5, they had to play the Rams twice. They had to play the Seahawks twice. Now, I will say this, Joe, and I know you guys will appreciate this, Hugh. You guys know on Tuesday that I record the Even Money betting podcast. I have Steve Fezzik, who's really well known out in Vegas. And he said, you guys are going to love this, that there are people out there that do research on the schedule after the fact, right? After the fact. Mm-hmm. Like, what was the team schedule now that we know what it was? And by the way, who did they have? Like, what was the betting line for the game? Who was available at quarterback for the other team? If all you do in the wild card round is bet on teams that had hard schedules against teams that had easy schedules, over time, you will do very well. So the Eagles, according to him, had the hardest schedule of any of the playoff teams. And the Niners had a cupcake schedule, which seems a little dicey to me in this because of the, you know, playing the Rams and Seahawks twice, but that's what he said. So I thought that part of it was notable, what he said on the Even Money podcast about the schedule.
Yeah, that is interesting. All right, Ross, I'm going to ask you a question that might seem silly, but it's how I feel. I'm curious if you see where I'm going or you go the opposite way. So Eagles, Niners on Sunday, let's pick the Eagles to win. So we have to figure out where they would, who they would play next, right? If the Bears win on Saturday night, they go to Chicago, 3-2. If the Packers win, the Packers would go to Seattle and the Eagles would get the winner of the Rams and Carolina, most likely going to be the Rams. Ross, I would rather the Bears win and have the Rams go to Seattle, have Seattle and the Rams knock each other out, and I'll take my chances winning on the road in Chicago versus having the home game here next week against the Rams. Am I crazy? Where do you come down on that hypothetical?
You know what's fascinating about that, Joe? I hadn't thought that far ahead in the sense that I have thought, you know, the Packers, like in my mind, I was thinking, the Packers and Bears, that's almost like a pick'em game. Packers could easily win that, and that'd be good for the Eagles because then they would get, you know, a second home game. I don't know. I mean, that's one where I will talk to, like, my guy from Even Money and other people. I would love to see what the betting lines would be. Eagles at the Bears versus Eagles home against the Rams. I know you got to beat them at some point anyway, but I would rather not play the Rams and Seahawks back-to-back. I would lean in your direction, Joe. I have a lot of faith that if the Eagles played the Bears again, especially with the way the Bears embarrassed them, I think that would look a whole lot different.
I agree. I think that's the best path back to an NFC title game. All right, Ross, let's end with this. I know we haven't spent much time this year on that conference other than injuries and what happened to the Chiefs. Ross, what's your feel on the AFC? I mean, it's a new guard at the top with the Broncos, the one seed, Patriots with Drake May, 2, the Jaguars, 3. Of course, there's the Bills, you know, lurking this time as a wild card. Ross, if you had a guess, who represents the AFC in the Super Bowl?
The winner of the Bills and the Jags.
Wow.
I think it's unfortunate that they have to play each other on Sunday at 1, right before the Eagles game. That feels to me like it's worthy of the AFC championship game. I've been telling people since I did the Jags game for CBS like 3 weeks ago, they are good. They are good pretty much everywhere. Their coach is slick, and this is the best Trevor Lawrence has ever played. And then the Bills are the Bills. Like, we know what the Bills are and what they can do. It's a shame that one of them won't even win a playoff game, because I kind of like those teams more than any of these other teams. So I'll take the winner of Bills-Jags to go to the Super Bowl from the AFC.
Wow, it's going to be fun and totally unpredictable, especially in that conference. Ross, we appreciate hopping on. It's a great week for football. Enjoy it, and we'll talk next week, hopefully getting ready for the divisional round together.
Sounds great. See you, fellas.
There he goes. Ross Tucker there. All right, so it's interesting. Ross is with my first thought is I'm rooting for the Bears on Saturday. I know it flies in the face of giving us a second home game, right? If the Bears get knocked out, the Eagles would be home next week. I'd rather go to Chicago and have the Rams and Seahawks play each other in the second round, and then we only got to beat one of them, and we'll go beat the Bears.
Yeah. I mean, I feel you. Instead of playing both of them back to back, I got you. I'm okay with that.
I mean, usually you always want the home game.
Yeah, they're going to beat each other up, and they've already had a moment where they went at it already earlier.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And I'm not afraid to go into Chicago. I know the Bears are good and they're promising moving forward. I think the Eagles could win there. I mean, heck, last time we watched them do it in 2018. We watched Hugh Douglas drive Jim Miller into the ground back in 2002. Yep. We've seen this. We got to get him on next week. All right. 215-592-9494 for a Twitter question sponsored by the PI Dental Center. Your smile is the first thing others see when they meet you. Learn about and schedule your evaluation, PIDentalCenter.com. Hugh, where do you think the votes are on these polls today? So, did Week 18 matter? Yes or no?
Yes, 70%.
No, 55%. Wow. You're getting cooked.
Well, 55% is winning, technically.
You're losing 55-45.
Oh, okay.
No, technically it's losing.
Okay. Would you be surprised if the Eagles won the Super Bowl? No at 53%, yes at 47%. That's pretty close to a split. I'm a little surprised on the start of a playoff week. 47% of people would be surprised if this happens again. Let's go to the phone lines here. Mark in Jersey is up on WIP. Hey, Mark.
Hey, what's going on, gentlemen?
Mark, what's up,
all right. I am 100% on board with the Eagles sitting most of the starters the last game. 100%. We're talking about a beat-up 49ers team. Mm-hmm. McCaffrey is a fantastic talent. He's a great player, but he's only built for regular season. He's not built for a deep run. This guy touched the ball 400 times.
I mean,
400 times. He's
Mark,
shot.
Mark, I he's not shot. Also, didn't he just 2 years ago lead them all the way into the Super Bowl and they got to overtime and he touched the ball the whole game?
Yo, this dude is manufactured. He's a great player, but he's manufactured.
What do you mean Christian McCaffrey's manufactured?
He's manufactured. He's not built for the pounding.
He just did this 2 years.
You heard Mark.
Yeah, he just did this 2 years ago. Like, they went to the Super Bowl with him leading the way. Did that not happen?
Yeah, I know. And he's always limping to the finish line. He's just not. He's naturally, honestly, walking around. He's probably about 182 pounds.
No,
naturally.
No shot. Christian McCaffrey's too.
I'm what telling are you. Talking?
Christian McCaffrey's. Mark, come on. The guy's probably 215, 220. What are you watching?
He's a big dude.
George Kittle is not. Basically, this is not the team from 3 years ago.
Well, I agree with you on that.
It is close.
I agree with you on that. Okay.
No Ayuk, no Debo. They got Pershaw. He still got like a bullet in his chest. I mean, these dudes.
Well, that's
are
not his injury right now.
Wow, but wait a minute. What?
Well, he did get shot when he was drafted.
No, I'm just saying, what is. Mark, funny, man.
He's on his lap. They're on their It's going to be a 10-point win by the Birds.
Okay.
You know what? And it's great. I've said it before. It's going to be like Pearl Harbor. We were vanilla this past week. It was great. We didn't show them nothing. We're going to come out with wrinkles. We got Lane Johnson coming back. Jalen is completely healthy. Goddard's healthy. When's the last time he was healthy for a whole season? I'm telling you, this team is going to bust them up, and it's going to be completely – they're going to completely have to dismantle the 49ers.
So you disagree with Hugh Douglas' take on Week 18?
Oh, completely. Hugh is so far off on this one, it's ridiculous. But, you know, we'll see.
Interesting. So can I ask a question, Mark?
Go ahead.
Based in logic, how did you feel about this offense and the way that they played all year long? No, better yet, Mark. Let me ask you this: how did you feel about the offensive coordinator?
Okay, this is the way I'm going to answer it. We earned the right to sit our starters. We did earn it because we stashed enough chestnuts early in the season to do that. Lamar Jackson and Josh Allen had to limp to the finish line just to get in, and one of them didn't get in, and they rolled him out there last week. We earned the right to sit.
Not sure what Lamar has to do with anything, but
nothing. Mark, are you done?
Go ahead.
Could you answer the question now, please?
Say it again. What was it?
I said, okay, how comfortable have you been with this offense and Kevin Petullo in particular? How impressed have you been with that?
Honestly, Hugh, and I don't like to use excuses, but I honestly believe the Eagles were a victim of Mother Nature this year.
Let me finish. There were six games
of extreme weather. And I mean, even the very first game of the season, we had to delay.
Mark, quick pause, okay? We'll go with your idea on this. You realize their three playoff games could be in Philadelphia in January, Chicago in January, and Seattle.
So quietly, I was kind of hoping we would have to go out to San Fran to play. I wanted them to win that game. I want to be out there in perfect weather.
Right, but I don't my like point, the weather out here. My point is we're going to have probably bad weather for three playoff games. That's how this works.
I'm aware of that. Okay. I don't like it.
All right.
I don't like it at all. I agree with you, but I don't like it.
All right.
But, I mean, seriously, the first game, there was an hour delay. Game one, we went down to Tampa Bay. It was like 106 on the field. It was crazy.
Oh, my God.
Then the two games here with the swirling wind. And you know what Buffalo is like. It's just
you
so.
Know what you know what I come to the conclusion?
But we won those games.
I like Mark because Mark's crazy. And Mark,
I'm telling you, I'm a realist, man. I play football. I know the game.
Mark. Hey, Mark. You have not answered one question that I asked.
You also dropped McCaffrey by 35 pounds. The guy's 210. I mean, what are we talking about?
You know what, Mark?
You all right with me.
McCaffrey's shot. He led the league in scrimmage yards.
Mark, you are delusional. Buddy.
This will be his line.
Oh,
13 carries on Sunday, 42 yards. Three receptions, 26 yards. Book it. It ain't enough. It ain't enough.
It might not be enough, but they're going to give him. They're going to give him the ball 25 times. I mean, let's just be real.
I feel mad. I got mad at Mark a few weeks ago.
No, don't feel bad.
I should have identified you're crazy the first couple times you called.
Oh, I identified it a long time.
I make too much sense.
I don't know about that. All right, Mark. That's enough for today.
Mark is that? Oh, that. Bless his heart. bless your heart, Mark.
I don't know what my favorite part of that was. Was that. McCaffrey, who's going to be in the Hall of Fame one day, isn't built for this, even though he did lead them to the Super Bowl 2 years ago. Or he's 35 pounds less than he actually is. Or the weather was the biggest issue for the Eagles offense this year. They're all good.
That was a new one for me. You know, as a former football player,
yeah.
to use inclement weather as a reason why you didn't play well is fascinating.
Do you know what?
Never thought about that.
Now, if we want to go down that path, you know what? People would not like the other side of it, right?
What's that?
Well, if we are using the weather as an excuse for the Eagles' offense, wouldn't it have been fair to say the Eagles' defense is not as good as we think it is because they've been helped out by the weather?
I guess.
But we don't do that.
Victims of Mother Nature.
The offense. So. It only rained when the Eagles were on the field.
Victims of Mother Nature was great.
Every time.
Talk about excuse making.
Every time the guy has a new spin.
Mark, that was classic level spin.
Yeah. I'm glad you handled it well because he was coming at you.
Not really.
Yeah, he was.
Oh, no, he did.
You know what's funny?
He met you on the phone, too, yeah.
You know what's funny about that is that I don't mind having spirited debates.
Mm-hmm.
But when you ask questions that you can't answer, you kind of already lost the debate because you're talking about something that I didn't discuss. I didn't bring up Christian McCaffrey's name one time.
He did.
Yes.
Yeah, I know.
And that just – and as a grown-up, I don't understand how grown-ups feel like that's the winning argument by changing the argument.
Well,
I don't understand that.
We're using grown-up loosely sometimes when we do these type of things. All right, 215-592-9494. We'll get back to everyone's phone calls coming up here. Plus, you know what we have to do? It's Tuesday. It's about to be 1 o'clock. We got to settle the score. Kiss the baby. The playoff picture is fully set. And it sounds like we have a clear winner. We're going to find out. All right, we got to find out who won this thing. Is it myself? Is it Kyle? Is it Hugh? Or is it the team of callers that each week eliminate another team? We have the full playoff picture set. We'll go through that next. All your phone calls on the Eagles. And would you be surprised if this team goes all the way and wins another Super Bowl? I would not. Plus some Phillies news to get to coming up in the 1 o'clock hour as well. It is the Midday Show on Sports Radio 94 WIP.